Okay, so we're going to talk about Tonglen, based mainly on the way Pema Chodron teaches it. The word Tonglen can be described as giving and taking, or what was the other way they put it? Receiving and something else that essentially means giving. So it's about taking in and giving out. And it's a Tibetan practice, or at least it seems originally that it was. You can find a lot of Tonglen recordings if you want to do a search for them. And some of them are, adapted Tonglen for yourself or Tonglen for this sort of thing or that sort of thing. And I'm think they're all pretty much based on the same what we're going to do tonight. So giving and taking. Before we get into that, let's go back and look at some things that we already know for a little bit of context. We talk a lot here about doing mindfulness techniques, meditation techniques to help us deal with certain situations. Put it in generic terms, to help us relieve suffering. Suffering might be great physical, emotional pain, or it might just be dissatisfaction that some conversation or some event isn't working out the way you want it to. So anywhere along that range, we're going to call that suffering. We tend to, I think of suffering as having to be a big, huge thing. But the way I'm using the word, it's basically anything that we sort of get stuck on, anything that creates discomfort for us. And of course, the bottom line of the Buddhist teaching is, he said, I teach suffering and the and freedom from suffering. So everything that we do is in some way or another to increase our fulfillment, reduce our suffering, deepen our understanding of ourselves, which you could say is reducing suffering by reducing confusion about ourselves. Or confusion about a situation that is going on. So, in general, what we're doing with this whole path, you could say, is about learning to deal with suffering, learning to experience discomfort without the suffering, and so on. And there are many different ways we do it. We can look at the suffering specifically and try and create equanimity with it. We can focus away from the suffering and try and have background equanimity with it, et cetera, et cetera. But we are becoming skilled at handling discomfort in our lives, right? So, having said that, Tonglen is about using those skills in an outward way. Shinzen sometimes he likes to say that our job as meditators is to be garbage disposals for other people. So we take in the garbage, we purify it with our skills. We neutralize the push and pull of it. And then we spew out, and this part doesn't quite match the analogy, but then we spew out good stuff instead. So we're transforming the suffering into positivity in some way. And that's exactly what Tonglen is about. We're going to, as it were, take in suffering. There's a few steps to how to do that. We transmute it into goodness of some form, and then we express it out, either into the world or toward a specific person or situation. Now, as I say with loving kindness communication, loving kindness meditation, I will say with this, I don't know if it has an objective effect on the rest of the world, but it does have an objective effect on us. And that means that our effect in the rest of the world will be somewhat different, hopefully somewhat better. And so in that way, it does have indirectly an actual effect on the world. It's typically used to increase compassion, empathy with other people, the ability to see suffering. So you're walking down the street and you see a homeless person asking for food, and part of us wants to not look at that. Part of that is for us might be distasteful or frightening or brings up things in us that we don't want to deal with. And the Tonglen will help us to be able to look at that and see the person and see the pain and, at least smile at them. It'll increase our capacity for that, as well as our capacity to have compassion on ourselves. So with all of that sort of foundation, I will explain as best I can what I've learned from Pema about how to do this technique in the way that she teaches it. So the technique involves both awareness of the body and visualization. And we could even put it in UM terms for those of you who care, and say that it involves feel space, feel out, and see in, and possibly, but not necessarily intentionally, feel in the emotional thing. But the unlike loving kindness, this is not about feeling some emotion. This is about visualizing a change. So the four steps are that you would start just very briefly focusing on the breath and trying to just relax yourself into a place of openness, open-heartedness. I won't say mental calm because that's not something that you can control typically, but I would say mental openness, a willingness to proceed. So there's a moment, maybe in other terms, it would be grounding yourself. And having done that, you then start with a visualization of suffering generically. And this is usually described in what I've read so far as being sensations of heat, darkness, maybe stickiness, like tar, maybe. Claustrophobia is a word that comes up, a sense of constriction and being held down, being bound up. You imagine yourself breathing this in. You can either, the two ways I've seen it described is breathe it into your entire body, fill your body with this, or breathe it into your heart space, into that open heart that you sort of set an intention for when you started. You breathe this in, and your first thought, as I say this, might be, yuck, why am I going to bring all this yucky suffering into my body? Well, the reason you're going to do it is because we have the skills to transmute that. We have the skills to sit with it and have equanimity with it and not fight with it. and in a way to love it to death, give it so much attention that it stops needing to be horrible and yucky. We have the ability to purify it, if you want to use that term. So we take it in, and then we transmute it into the opposite. Now, I think you can do this transmutation just as a visualization, as a, okay, I'm going to do this. Maybe it makes more sense for you to intentionally try and feel what it feels like and have equanimity with it. Whatever works for you. And then, having done that, you breathe out that goodness, that oppositeness. So that would be you breathe out light instead of darkness. You breathe out refreshing cool instead of heat. You breathe out openness instead of claustrophobia. Now, I will tell you that in the past, I would have had trouble with this because with my body, I tend to be a bit literal. And it's like, how can you breathe out? How can you breathe in claustrophobia? You know, and how can you breathe in anything except into your lungs? But now I get that this is a visualization, this is a mental exercise. So it's okay. You can pretend to do that. And we're not looking for some, there's nothing more to breathe this in and breathe that out than imagine yourself doing that. So you do that for a little while. And you might want to add into your imagining that you are perfectly able to handle this dark, sticky yuckiness, because you have those skills, because you have compassion. You might be doing this to grow your compassion, but you obviously got some to start with, or you wouldn't be doing it at all. So, however you want to work with that, imagine yourself as strong and able to do that transmutation. Breathe it back out. After a time of doing this, we'll move to the third step, which is to imagine someone with some particular form of suffering. Could be someone you know, you know, with a physical ailment or with an emotional challenge. It could be someone that you've seen that you don't know. It could be, I suppose, even an animal or a nation. I don't know. It could be, but it's something specific. And you breathe that in and you try to feel that specific suffering. So at first we were doing generic suffering. Now we're doing a specific suffering. And we'll do the same thing, but when we breathe it out, we're imagine or breathing in and out, we're imagining breathing in that specific suffering and breathing out the anti-suffering to the person who's suffering. So in that sense, there's some overlap with loving kindness, you know, when you imagine someone and say, may you be healthy, may you be happy, blah, blah, blah. Now we're being very specific. We're saying, okay, you have this issue. I'm going to breathe it in. I'm going to purify it for you, and I'm going to give it back to you. And we'll do that for a while. And then we generalize it by, as we breathe it in, imagining not just that individual person, but everyone in the world who has that kind of suffering. So you're dealing with someone maybe who's having a challenge in their relationship, and you're picturing that person, you're breathing out the anti-suffering. I just made that up, but I sort of like that word. And then the last step would be, okay, everyone in the world who's having relationship issues, I'm going to do this transmutation for them. And that's the four steps of Tonglen. Now, one thing that's really cool about it is, say you get to a specific person First of all, you don't have to go through, someone you like and someone you don't like. So you don't have to deal with doing Tongan for Hitler or something. We're not asking for that. But say you have some resistance or aversion to getting specific or even to doing this at all. If you were me 10 years ago, you think this is stupid. I can't breathe in one thing and breathe out another. If you have that aversion or any aversion, pay attention to the sensations of your own aversion or your own whatever is hanging you up. One of the guided meditations I listened to last week was Pema going through this, and she suggested people do this for their mothers. And then she explained the reason she suggested that is because some people are going to find that easy to do, and some people are going to find that really hard to do. And if you're going to find that hard to do, then you let go of doing it for your mother and you start noticing what it feels like for you to not want to do it for your mother. And then you can do it for yourself. And when you generalize it, you can generalize it to all the people who don't want to do nice things for their mother. So it's really it's very flexible in that you can find whatever suffering you can connect with. And that suffering might be, I don't like this practice. And so you can do it for all the people who don't like this practice. So it's sort of a win-win practice. And that's essentially it. The four steps, a quick check-in with grounding and opening, being willing to do this, generic breathing in and out of suffering and anti-suffering, transmuting, whatever the word is, the hot, dark, sticky, claustrophobic sense into a light, warm, a light, cool, spacious sense. And whatever the opposite of sticky is, frictionless, I guess is a very good way to put it, and non-grasping. Doing it for a specific person or thing or situation, and then generalizing it to everyone or everything in that particular situation. So that is what I've learned about Tonglen. And I think that it's pretty easy to see how this falls into our definition of effective meditation, because we are applying our concentration, our sensory clarity, and our equanimity directly to these things that we're visualizing. So it has the basic elements of effective meditation. Even if you hate the practice, you're still training those skills. But additionally, you are training your mind or your heart or however you want to look at it, to see other people's suffering and to actively want to do something about it. You may not be able to do anything about it. It may not be appropriate to do something about it externally, but you can. You're growing the ability to have compassion and empathy and a desire for others to be to be relieved of unpleasantness. And that's a good thing to do in itself.